Good morning. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. If it's not for life more than food and the body more than clothing, look at the birds in the air. Neither do they sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all the glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which today alive and tomorrow is thrown unto the oven, he will not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Shalom.
Thank you, Tim. You know, as we kick off this new year, I wanted to launch into something, and I hope it'll be impacting for you. I hope it'll be helpful for you as we move into this new year. Today, we kick off a new series, and it's called The Believer's Guide to a Happier New Life. A new year, excuse me. That's what it's called. A new life, too. Yeah. Because really, that's what it's about. You know, oftentimes, and many of you have heard me say this, that we should not make our happiness the goal of our living, because happiness is so controlled by things that are beyond our control. The circumstances in our life can make us happy or make us sad, and yet the reality is that God invites us to something more. We may not be able to control those situations, the circumstances that cause us to be happy, and again, it's not a mistake that these words have the same root. What's happening around me affects how happy I am. But we can find ways to be happier in the midst of our life, irregardless of the circumstances that we face, because of the tools which God has given to us. One, his presence. Two, the tools that he has given to us through his word. And so today, we want to open up, and I think you can probably already hear where we're going just based on the text that Tim read for us today. When Jesus invites us to something that sounds impossible. Do not worry. You know, there's something really, I think, profound in this idea. And it runs across all the scriptures. You can begin in the Old Testament, this invitation to not worry, but you can run, we'll just focus on the New Testament, because they say, have you heard this? They say that repetition is the key to learning. Now, let me say that again. The repetition is the key to learning. And when we see something come up over and over and over again throughout the course of the scripture, we ought to take note about what it is that God is doing by reminding us over and over, perhaps about the same thing. You can look all across the New Testament, and you'll see that there's a theme, a thread that runs through it all. And it doesn't matter which writer, because you know that there are different writers in the New Testament. You can look at the Apostle Paul. He's going to say, can you fill this blank in for me? Paul said, do not be, George can fill it in for me. Thank you, George. That's help for all of you. Do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, make our request known to God. So there are going to be things that strike us, and we're invited to not let them take hold of us, but instead enable them to release us to go to God in prayer. Peter, in 1 Peter, says this, cast all your anxiety or cares, right, a lot of us remember it as cares, but anxiety is in the new NIV, on him because he cares for you. And in this passage, I want to just throw it out to you. This is a fascinating passage that Peter brings to us, that not only are we to not hold on to our anxiety, but actually cast it onto him. The reason we are to cast it onto him, the next sentence says that our enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a lion seeking those who he will devour. Now you put those two verses together because Peter put those two verses together. The context of that verse, which we often hear about how the devil prowls looking for those to devour, what is the tool that he wants to use in this context to devour you? It's anxiety. That's what Peter was talking about. We often separate those two as if they're independent. They're not. He is saying, do not be anxious. Cast that anxiety onto God. Otherwise, if you don't, the devil will use that against you, and he will devour you. Jesus very simply just went right at it, took it about as straightforward and simple as he could make it. And he said this, do not worry. In fact, a little later in the text, you may have heard it when Tim read it. He asks a question, how many of you can add a single hour to your life by worrying? Anyone? It actually does take away. That's very good, Jennifer. You're right. It does, because worry has a way of so clogging up our life and diminishing our life that lives are shorter. Lifespan becomes shorter when we become overwhelmed with anxiety. And anxiety is just anxiety is just all around us, isn't it? It's not just what we feel. And it seems sometimes like anxiety seems to be getting more and more. And it really shouldn't be getting more and more, should it? I mean, how many of us are afraid that our family is going to starve because the crop is going to fail this year? Probably not many. How many of us are afraid that our family is going to be eaten by a pack of bears, you know, living around? You know, there was a day when those kind of things were what we were anxious about. But today we're anxious about all so many other things. And it comes down to this idea that because there is so much that causes us to worry, but the Bible tells us that we are not to worry. So I'm not supposed to worry, I'm not supposed to be anxious, but I do worry and I do get anxious. Why? What's the disconnect? I'm not supposed to worry, I'm not supposed to be anxious, but I wonder why. What causes me to fall into that trap of worry? Well, worry comes in all kinds of different forms and fashions. I have to wait to receive the results of the test. And I worry. Maybe you do too. Maybe we've gotten the diagnosis. Maybe it's a spouse who's been diagnosed with a disease, and we don't know how that disease is going to affect her or how that treatment is going to affect her. And so we begin to worry. Maybe I don't have a job. Maybe I don't have enough money. Maybe I have too much debt and I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. And I feel a sense of that dread, that worry that creeps in around me. Maybe I'm struggling in a relationship, whether it be with a family member or my marriage or whatever that might be, that is causing me to wonder, can we get through this? And because we don't know, anxiety begins to crop up. And it begins to take hold of us. And we begin to feel like we cannot maybe even fully breathe because we are always under the stress of this anxiety. The bottom line is this, though. The bottom line to any of these things is that anxiety is our default setting. It's how we're wired, okay? It's how we're wired. It is how we go when we feel we are out of control. This is at the heart of it. And anxiety seems to be getting worse all around us, partly because There, we're aware of so much going on. We have such an overload of media and going around us. So we can now be just caught up in the anxiety of things. We can be consumed by the details of a quadruple murder in Idaho at the same time that we are locked into the tragedy of a war in a place like the Ukraine. We can be consumed by the plight of children, poor children in Bangladesh who are starving to death. And at the same time, we can be concerned and overwhelmed with this sense of fear because of the human tragedy that's happening by our southern border. All these things kind of come crashing down on us. And because we are so consumers of media, we bring this upon ourselves. All these things that are beyond our control, all these things that we can't do anything about, all it does is begin to come upon us and steal from us by filling us with a sense of anxiety. So, if I know that the Bible says I should not worry, and yet I still worry, if I say to myself, I'm going to not be anxious, you know, it doesn't change anything. Have you tried it? Have you caught yourself being anxious, and you say, oh, I shouldn't be anxious, and it works? It doesn't. It doesn't. I get more anxious. Why can I not control this? Yes. Why can I not control my anxiety? And so it becomes more. It becomes more and becomes more. The only way we can go at anxiety and begin to change it is not by saying it louder or by reading it more, but it is coming to a new realization. And that's what I want to talk about real quick. Here's an example. Say you're out to dinner with a friend. You go out to dinner with a friend, and you realize in the midst of dinner that you're out at this restaurant, and you're in the midst of dinner, and you realize you left your wallet at home. You have no money. If you're like me, you begin to panic because you don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to tell the people who just gave you food that you don't have money to pay for it. You don't want to embarrass yourself in front of your friend. You're just kind of in this panic mode because you're feeling the sense of anxiousness now that has come over you because you're in a situation that you cannot control. You cannot pay for the meal that you now owe for. But what happens to that panic when the person across the way from you says, oh, don't worry, I've got a pocket full of money. I will cover your bill. What happens to the anxiety? It goes away. It stops. Because though I can't control it, I know I've got somebody with me, siding with me, who can. And we take that now and we extrapolate it out to something far bigger. These situations in our life, whatever that situation in our life may be, if we can begin to see that though we cannot control the situation, but there is someone who is siding with us, who is wanting to help us, who is wanting to come along with us to help us, we would begin to find that there is trust. Jesus said in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And there is something really profound that is how we begin to fight this epidemic of anxiety. It's not by telling ourselves we shouldn't, but it is by figuring a new way to begin trusting. It's to begin to shift our ability to, instead of looking at what is beyond our control, look to the one who has it under control. The challenge may be too big for you, but it's not too big for him. So it's just like in the passage that we read for us earlier. Jesus says, do not worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall wear. For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, and this is the significant part of what we're saying here, or rather than, or instead of being caught in worry, Jesus says, focus on seeking God's kingdom and his will for you. And all these things will be added to you as well. I like to say this, that in the midst of that paragraph, that is a big but. Hear me on that. One T. because that changes everything. It changes everything to say that, okay, so I could be worried about these things because I don't have what I need. I can't control what's coming. I don't know how to make things the way I want to make things. But as we begin to seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, it's where the challenge begins to separate from us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Do not worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, blah, blah, blah. But it's rather, instead, seek first His kingdom. It is walking through the is walking through that valley of the shadow of death and fearing no evil. Why? Because He is with us in the midst of it. And so this is how we begin to change the calculus of this anxiety that we feel, is by setting our minds not to, I'm going to be anxious less, but setting our minds into, I'm going to focus on the presence of God more. Because as we focus on the presence of God more, whether it be getting up in the morning and turning your phone on, and instead of going to the news of all the terrible things going on in the world, you go to your Bible app instead. And it begins to remind us of what God is doing, what God has done, what God is doing, what God will be doing. And we begin to focus more on our attention on what He is up to. That as we move from that place into the day, then instead of going into it with all the sense of all that is out of place, we're beginning to come and see it from a perspective that is different, that has changed, because God is still there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This becomes the antidote for the anxiety of the world that we feel. Not closing our minds to the things that are there, but seeing the evidence of God's goodness all around our lives as we move through it. Father, I thank You for this morning and just for the opportunity that we have to say that we are more than the circumstances we face. Father, I do lift up those who are walking through deep darkness. I do lift up those who are consumed because of uncertainty or because of loss or because of so much that is beyond our ability to control. And so, Father, even as we begin this new year, God, I would just lift and ask that You would meet us here today, that we would sense, just rest in that sense of Your goodness, knowing that You are on our side and Your desire is that we would be made more whole. So, Father, just meet us in those places where worry dwells. Meet us in these places where anxiety grows. Father, help us to look to You and to rest in You all the more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.